almost just put a hair clip in his hair.
I don't know if this is a weird thing. I guess I grew up with sisters, so there's always hair clips laying around
everywhere. Yeah, those spring-loaded claws, hair claws.
They're the original fidget spinner. Like if you're if you're a boy who grew up with older sisters.
Wow, the original fidget spinner.
Yeah, if you're a boy who grew up with sisters and you're watching TV, you're playing with the hair clip.
So, I was one of the groomsmen in Clark Vickery's wedding, and I show up at the. I show up on wedding day and, yeah, she's smelling the microphone. I show up on wedding day, with my suit and Clark hands me a bag and it's the groomsman gift, which like when I got married, there were no such thing as groomsman gifts.
Neither were there when I got married.
That's because there were 11 total people at your wedding.
That's a good point.
I didn't get you a gift.
No.
Dang, I'm sorry.
No.
You're my best man. I didn't get you a gift.
Hey, it's not a thing, guy. But anyway, so in this bag for the groomsmen gifts was a really nice flowery tie that we were all supposed to wear. So Rob and I have the same tie and Clark. And a fidget spinner. And like me and David Phillips opened our groomsmen gift at the same time. And we both looked at each other and were like, fidget spinner.
Fidge.
And Clark was like, wait, are you guys excited? And we were like, yeah. And Steven Ebert was like, this is brilliant. This is fantastic. Clark, what a great present. Oh. And then Clark was like, oh man, I can't wait to shove it in Reagan's face because she thought it was such a stupid idea for me to get you guys fidget spinners. And
can I tell you why it was a great idea?
Yeah, say it.
So I have this theory. There are things in the world that you need but you don't want to ever buy. Right.
Oh.
And a fidget spinner is one of those.
Okay.
Nobody wants to spend money on a fidget spinner.
I don't want to be that guy checking that thing out at the Walmart.
It's not even the optics of it. It's like, this is $6. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's going to cost me $6. Yeah. Why? It's that number that's like, this really isn't anything.
If it was $2.
$6.
If it was $2, you'd have 10 of them.
Yeah. But also, it's just like, so that's how I feel about chapsticks, how I feel about gums, how I feel about socks. It's like, I need all these
socks!
Things.
Yeah. No, y'all need to know Tomboy steals socks from his brother-in-law.
I haven't done that in a while.
He steals socks from his brother-in-law.
Well, now it's my wife. I go to my wife's drawer and I take her socks.
Your feet are twice the size of her feet.
I just like...
I can imagine you getting one of Maddie's socks over like your big toe.
Man, I just... There's like a theory there that like if I was an academic, I would write a paper on this, like a peer reviewed journal.
This is insane.
Just like the theory of neediness or something. I don't know. Just like whatever. There are things in my life I need. I really hate spending money on them.
And so if somebody hooks you up with a fidge,
it's brilliant.
Oh.
If someone hooks you up with a hair clip, you're gonna play with it, but you ain't buying one of these to play with. Like gum. You want people in your life who have gum.
You can buy gum, dude. You can buy gum. You can buy it right there at the checkout in the grocery store.
But it's one of these... I think it's called the youngest child theory is really what it is. Here are things that I want to have and have readily available, but I really don't want to pay for, so I'm going to move.
What was great was, months after Clark and Reagan's wedding, one of the guys that were the groomsmen would like send a video of like being in the grocery store and like picking up, something off the shelf, like some tortillas or, some salsa or something like that. A box of Goldfish crackers. And you're like, am I watching a video of Rob Logan, like selecting a box of Goldfish crackers? And then all of a sudden, like from out of frame into frame is the fidge just spinning.
I guarantee you Rob started that trend.
It's so funny.
It's such a Rob.
It was such a funny trope for a while. It was just such a great little thing in the groomsmen group. Okay, I want to switch gears. Are you ready?
Sure.
T and I got to, dear ancient new listeners, T and I got to do something so fun last Friday night, which is we got to be the announcers, the play-by-play and color commentary in a football game. And it was so much fun. Speak of the devil, Rob Logan is actually calling us right now, calling Thomas right now.
Oh, just keep talking. I'm going to text him.
Oak Ridge High School has their annual Powder Puff football game sponsored by the student government of Oak Ridge High School. Each class outfits a team. They get coaches. They run plays. and they play a flag football game. It's like seniors versus sophomores, freshmen versus juniors. The winner of each goes into the you know, and into the final round of the tourney, and they do the whole thing at Blankenship Field. And Mrs. Wagner, the head, the teacher sponsor for student council, along with next year's student council president, Megan Reeser, invited Thomas and myself to be the announcers. They they handed us microphones and opened up the public address at Blankenship Field, and we just had a heyday. Like, for, what would you say, like 2 hours, we were just unchained?
Yeah, absolutely. Which, like, you know, it's kind of scary when you think back on it. Like, I you know, you're just like one Freudian slip away, or like mispronunciation away from ruining your life.
And your reputation as a minister of the gospel in the city of Oak Ridge.
Which I literally, there's times I was asking the Lord, like, hey, help me not to like, it's like, it's not even intentional. It's just like, there are words that if you, you know, you leave out a letter on accident, or you speak too quickly, it becomes something else.
And well, so, dear listener, you may or may not be aware of, like, sometimes in high school sports, there'll be like a, you know, there are sponsors for games, like a local business might sponsor, you know, the third down for the defense of the home team or something like that. Well, Thomas and I took this to a comedic level and just basically made every single down, first, second, third, fourth down, distance, who cares, time on the clock, who cares, sponsored by different businesses in Oak Ridge. And we just had so much fun. At one point, Thomas had like a first or second down that was sponsored by Jai Hundley's biceps.
Yeah. Dude's jacked, and he was on the field.
One time, this, you know, one of the players, this girl, like, bum rushes a pass play and grabs the quarterback's flag, whatever. And I was like, man, that you know, rush was as that pursuit was as fired up as a you know, a fresh slice of Big Ed's pizza. And it was just stuff like that. Like, the whole night, it was so much fun. And people, lots of people had no idea who we were.
Oh, of course. I walked out of the stadium without anybody saying a word to me, which I was like, this is awesome. I literally, no one, like, you know, I said hi to people I knew, but no one was like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like,
yeah.
Thankfully, because I'm sure there's people who were very annoyed.
It was so.
Because we were probably borderline obnoxious, if not full bore obnoxious.
I think it was pretty funny, dude.
I think so too, but also I guarantee there's people who were like, these guys suck. Like, there was one of the coaches, I'm going to leave names out, but like one of the coaches, I think we were, he was very into it, and I'm afraid that we probably pushed his buttons a little too
well hard. You know, he needs to calm down because it's not that serious, bro. But bro, you sold. But the other okay, so I'll go ahead and before we end this bit, I'll give you the best joke we had all night, which was that we had asked next year's president of student council, Megan Reeser, and my daughter, who's the treasury of the student council, Nora Younger, for rosters so that we could announce the games well. And they were like, well, we can give you the names of the girls that are on each of the teams, but the problem is that the jerseys for each of the teams, the numbers on the back the numbers on the back just represent their graduating class. So like the seniors, every single girl on the senior team had a red Oak Ridge High School Powder Puff football shirt with on the back it said 23. And the juniors, 24, and the sophomores, 25, and the freshmen, 26. So Thomas, as play-by-play announcer, would say, great pass for the freshman from number 26, connecting across the middle to number 26. And it was like the first three times we did it, it was funny. But then like the 47th time we did it, it was just like, it was only funny to us.
Oh, yeah. It was just, but and also Nora. We did a great job of like doing it way less towards the end to where I think it be like, yeah. You know, like by the last
it
game,
became
we
an old
like
friend.
Once. Yeah. So it was like, that's still funny.
Ah, those guys.
Yeah, this is bringing back things.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
Yes, welcome.
The home for your, not only for Bible study, but guys that enjoy doing a little announcing for sports as well.
We do. I really enjoy it.
Thomas, we're going to talk about some scriptures, yeah?
Yes, 100%.
Thomas is looking up the scripture that he wants to go to whilst also having the hair clip on his index finger.
Yeah, so we're going to be in the Psalms.
Oh, that's where I'm going to be too.
What if from the same one?
Oh my gosh. There's 150. Let's see how we do.
So, let's see, 113.
Oh, I'm not going to be there. That's great.
Okay. Just one little thing from this that caught my eye this morning as I was reading it.
Okay. Take me there, T.
Shawty, I can take you there. We haven't done that in a while.
You haven't sung a song on here in a while.
All right, I'm going to start verse 4. Okay, you ready? Go.
Ready.
The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth?
Are you hearing the song as you said?
Yeah. Who is like the Lord our God? Sandra McCracken's the goat. This is, whenever I read.
No, I was thinking about the one we do at our church.
Nope. Sorry. What was that one? I'm so sorry. What was it? What song is it?
That's. We will sing
praise to the Lord.
Yeah.
From the rising up. That's from a different part of this.
Yeah.
Who is exalted over all nations? Okay, there's a verse. But there's. Sandra McCracken has that Psalms album.
Yeah.
And she has. Anytime I read one of hers, I sing it.
Yeah.
Accidentally. Not accidentally, it's on purpose. But okay, so I just was intrigued and kind of grateful this morning for the imagery of the idea of the Lord stooping down. Mm. Like having to stoop down look on the heavens and the earth.
You're a tall fella.
So I'm as tall, so you have to stoop down. This is where I'm going with this. Like, okay. I was just thinking about, and this is probably heretical, but I was thinking about things I have to stoop down on to look at.
The number of times you've said that over this 8 years that we've done this show.
Yeah.
This is probably heretical.
So I was like trying to think of things that I have to stoop down on to look at. Okay. So like for some reason I thought of an anthill. Like I was just like if I see an anthill in my yard, like if I want to get up close and personal, I have to get down low and look at it to figure out what's going on.
Do you get
there.
Down low and look at an anthill?
Sometimes if they're cool.
One time Mark Val was dropping off some firewood for me here at the house. And all of a sudden, like I turned around, we were like, just like kind of going back and forth, getting loads of firewood from his trailer and taking them over to where I stack it. And all of a sudden I turned around and I just saw Mark like furiously stamping his foot. And I was like, what are you doing, Mark? And he was like, it was furious. It was like, bah, bah, bah. It was like somebody punching somebody in the face with his foot. Like, and I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, you had an anthill. I'm getting rid of it. And he had just destroyed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So you get down like on all fours.
I was just trying to think of things like that. Okay.
Thomas is a middle school minister. He has to like stoop down to see anybody.
So all that to say,
the guy is 6'3".
I'm tall. If you've never seen me, where was I going? Oh, it was just like, I think I do a good job of in my life. And I think I have to do this a lot in my job, which is just making sure to communicate the fact that we have a Lord who is personal and who walked the earth. That, you know, we have a great high priest who has empathy for us, you know?
Yes.
According to the book of Hebrews, which I think is really cool because he's experienced everything.
Sounds and like I don't, you really I like don't, the book of Hebrews.
I don't, you're not going to let me do this today.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm afraid that I've dissociated the fact that this is also true of the Lord, that he is so big. Okay. So like, I want to make sure I do a good job in my life of having both of those things. It's true about him that he is empathetic and that Jesus Christ walked around on earth and knows what it's like to be a human. Yeah. And that we also, like God the Father, this is true of him. He has to stoop down to look at this.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to like, you know, I was thinking about these things juxtaposed with each other. Like they don't cancel each other out. Okay. So like, I don't think it cancels out the fact that he is empathetic towards us at all. I think those both exist. But it also adds a dimension, which is like there's empathy and there's feeling and there is the fact that he knows and is personal. It's also the fact that this whole thing is just like, it, it, it's, It's an anthill. I mean, like, yeah. So, like...
Like, the whole world.
Yes, and, like, what this is every talking about...
civilization.
This is saying, yeah, the Lord is exalted over all nations, his glory above the heavens. Like, nothing about this place is he not over. Nothing about it is he not, like, stooping down to look on at the same time of feeling empathetic and loving towards us. Like, the things of this world that feel huge and frightening are one day going to be over and done with for us. And the whole time, he was so big over them, which I think is really cool. Because this world feels like it's getting a little bit... Who's to say? There's been sin the whole time. And there's been things that we haven't gone through that other generations have gone through. Just like we're going through things now that other generations didn't go through. And especially in America, as far as violence and nonsensical death and... innocent people losing their lives and having to be afraid to go places. And all, those things are frightening and big and scary. And as much as I am grateful and loving for the fact that the Lord has empathy about these things with us, he feels, he cares, he understands, he collects every teardrop. Like, all these things are true. There's also the truth in the fact that, like, he is reigning over this whole thing.
It's all sandcastles.
Yes, exactly. That's such a cool phrase. So I don't do what you want with that. I just am, I want to avoid the thing in my life, which is it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. God is either big and scary and, which like, that's not even true. Like God is, you know, like this, right after this, and I think it's on 114, it talks about, the earth bowing down and kneeling and the oceans retreating at just his might, which I think is awesome. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
But I want to be able to say both of those things exist. Like, I have a Lord who is loving and kind and empathetic towards me, and also one who is worthy of praise and worthy of me recognizing the fact that this place is something he has to stoop down towards.
I really like that. The thing that happened to me when you read the word who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth, okay, so the guy Ian Cron, who wrote The Road Back to You about the Enneagram, and he has a podcast about the Enneagram and stuff like that. He used to be on Young Life staff when he was a young man, and just a really cool and helpful guy. He told a story one time that he was at like a conference, and he was spending some time with some, like, it was like a counseling conference. Mm. He was spending some time with a counselor, and she was talking him through some of his issues, and he described her as she was just like the funnest, like she was like the sweetest, like African American lady counselor, older than me, and like she was just so kind and so great and stuff. And he said, but at a certain point, I started talking about with her things that had happened to me from my dad, and I was so angry, and I realized at a certain point, like, I was angry at Jesus. Because he had allowed this to happen. Because he's the king of the world. He allowed this to happen to me. And then he said, this counselor lady said, why don't you, like, you love Jesus, right? And he was like, yes. And she was like, have you ever thought about forgiving him? And Ian Cron was like, what? You can't forgive Jesus. He doesn't sin. Like, whatever he does, he has perfect reasons for it. There's a perfect plan that I'm in the middle of, and that's what my theology says, and I know that to be true and everything. And she goes, yeah, but have you ever forgiven him? And he's like, how can I forgive someone who doesn't sin? And then she said, you feel what you feel. And she said this thing, which I thought was amazing. She was like, yes, he is sinless. But at the same time, if for your relationship you need to forgive him, don't you think he would be the first one to stoop down and accept your forgiveness? Cool. And like that affected me in such a deep way that like Jesus, who has not sinned against me, like that's true. Mm-hmm. He has not sinned against me. And yet if I not being able to understand his infinite wisdom somehow relationally need to extend forgiveness to him, that what this lady said just resonated in my spirit and rang so true that like he would stoop down and receive my forgiveness, even though he hasn't sinned against me.
That's cool.
That's what the word stoop did in me. Was it stoop. Reminded me of that story.
Stoop kid never leaves a stoop.
I want to show you two places.
You don't know Hey Arnold.
I don't. Well, I do, but I don't.
I feel like that was like Phineas and Ferb for me. It was just a little too late in my career.
It was a good
cartooning.
It's a good show, though. Football Head.
It's a great show.
I always thought he was wearing a kilt, but it was his flannel shirt.
Same!
Wrapped around his waist.
Yeah. Why aren't they clear about that? He's wearing jeans.
Okay.
Clearly he's Scottish with all the blonde hair and football head eyes.
I want to show you two things in the Psalms. Okay?
And then I'm gonna... clearly sarcastic, right? Nobody's going to get offended by what I just said. If they did, I'm so sorry.
I want to stitch two things together. One from Psalm 5. Tell me when you're ready.
Lone stitch.
You ready?
Yeah.
Verse 3. Okay. Well, actually, let's just start from verse 1. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. And then I want to flip over to 64. Psalm 64. Or 63, excuse me. 63. All right. Verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. Okay. This is one of my, like, stitched together practical tips of, like, hey, we should try this, which is, in the morning, I remember you. My cry goes out before you. And then when I lay down in my bed, throughout the watches of the night, I keep reaching out to you and talking to you. There's something about this that helps me, which is there's a very specific moment and object involved. Like, okay, my alarm goes off and I do not want to get up. That's like always true of me. When my alarm goes off, I do not want to get up and I might snooze. Have you ever seen that meme that's like, it's like a picture of an iPhone, but it's like four times too long to be an iPhone, and the whole thing is just different alarms that are set, and it's like me in the morning.
Blow your mind.
And Thomas is showing me 740 different alarms that he has set that he can trigger throughout the day.
Why do I have an alarm for 1:57 a.m.?
Why?
I have no idea.
Well, nobody knows.
At some
knows.
Point, I needed that, though.
Nobody knows.
2:45, 2:10.
So, so my alarm goes off. I don't want to get up. But just taking Psalm 5 and just saying, in the morning, I cry out to you. Like, okay, this is whatever. When my alarm goes off, what if taking Psalm 5 as advice, it just triggers me and I just call out to him.
Yeah.
Jesus, here I am. I'm super tired. I don't want to get up.
Yeah.
I probably have to pee. The day is about to crank up. There's some things I'm worried about. There's some things I'm afraid of. There's some things I super don't want to do. There's some things that are going to be cool. Hey, how are you doing? You know? And then, like, on my bed, I remember you. So, like, end of the day, I lie down. Let that word bed trigger this in your brain, that when I actually physically lie down in my bed, the first thing I think is, I'm going to remember him. Through the watches of the night. You're not 40 yet, but, like, the thing that's going to happen to you when you turn 40 is, like, you just have to wake up in the middle of the night and pee.
That's how Austin and Eli are, and they're 18, which is funny.
Their prostate is already just struggling.
Yeah, they drink like 64 ounces of water a day.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. So like take these things in the Psalms and employ them. Mm. Like first thought in the morning, I cry out to you. I remember you. When I lie on my bed, I remember you. Throughout the watches of the night, if I have to get up, I just want my brain to go there. I just want to just mentally reach out or even just say his name. I've been reading this Henry Nouwen book and he says, like, when you have a verse, when it's your verse of the day or whatever, like take a phrase from it and just repeat it through your day. Just repeat it, drill down in that phrase, in that verse. Just like, I remember you. Yeah. I remember you. I remember you. And use it as kind of a pathway to meditation. This is not like an encouragement. It's not an insight thing. It's literally just like, I want to take what the psalmist said in these verses and make them a like practical thing that I do. Hmm. First thought when I get conscious, when my alarm goes off. First thought when I hit the bed, because that word bed is in there. On my bed, I remember you. And throughout the watches of the night, if something wakes me up in the middle of the night, if it's like a branch falls in the yard, or a dog barks across the street, or like a car alarm goes off, I'm awake.
Yeah.
I'm going to remember him. And I'm going to say those words like, I remember you. I remember you.
That's cool. Switch gears a little bit and talk about the, I love 63 because it has the imagery of the, gosh, which verse is it? The shadow of your wings.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Verse 7. So I was thinking about that, and my earthly affect, I like to follow somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I like it when I'm under somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I like it when I have somebody to look to.
Like a coach, a teacher,
yes,
a trail
guide.
I've
just been that way my whole life. Yeah. And part of it is probably being on sports teams forever. I don't know. But
yeah.
It's just my natural makeup. And I realize part of it, though, is because there is some lack of responsibility when you're there.
Sure.
So, like, that's just me being completely vulnerable. When you have somebody else who is in charge, you can default things. And it, not out of, like, laziness, but just, like, okay, I have to, like, the way... Like, I remember the first time I led... No, the first time I did that lake day for the middle schoolers and high schoolers, I was a wreck the whole day. And it was just because... Oh, there's 50 kids here. If somebody falls off a dock, you know, if worst thing happens.
The truth was one of the parents lost their keys in the lake.
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't even a kid.
No. But it's just all of a sudden, and there's some things now as a parent. Like,
yeah.
I'm very aware of the fact that my parents have a pool and my kid spends time over there and he's a year and a half and doesn't know how to swim. So, like, I think about that a lot now.
Yeah.
There's some responsibility things that I have now that I didn't have before as a parent and where I am at my job. And one thing I realized though is like the imagery of that, the being in the safety of the shadow of the Lord's wings just is so cool because it feels like you are somebody who is that you are a follower. You are a, you're not responsible for the things that you feel when you're in that position. Like as far as like a hen and a chick, like, the chick's job is basically just to do whatever. Like, it's just to follow the mom around.
Right.
And the mom's going to lead it to food. If there's a hawk, she's going to bring you in tight. And it's pretty crazy if you've ever watched the video when, like, a hawk comes near chickens. It's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, they, like, scatter and they get under cover, which is really fascinating. I think it's cool. Yeah. It's like the rooster's job to let them know. But I just was, like, I'm thinking about like in my earthly life, I like to be in a situation like that where I'm following, and when I can default some responsibility, and just to think about like that is actually true 24/7 because that is my, nice. That's my place with the Lord. Like I get to be a little chick who's just like, oh, you're going to take me to where I need to go to eat. You are going to keep me safe from the hawks. You are, which is literally, there's only the two things I can think of for a chick because it's just true. Like that's what they have. They eat and they follow their mom around. And they need to be aware of bigger birds that are trying to eat them.
Yes.
And snakes. That's it.
It's so cool.
Anyways.
Yeah. I'm gonna go under your wings.
Sorry, I just
Hey, we can do that.
Did a hard turn.
This is our show.
Nobody Yoshi, else do you have any thoughts about it?
Yoshi was asleep and then you woke her up and then she
just slowly lifted her head and looked at me.
She doesn't remember the Lord on her bed. Thomas just said, can you smell the mic? ASMR. Oh, my word. That was for Joe Penley. I don't think he listens to this podcast. By the way, somebody else who doesn't listen to this podcast, shout out to our good buddy Tyler Roberts. What's one thing you love about Tyler?
Is his birthday today?
It was May 15th.
It was May 15th. Oh, yeah. Man.
We're birthday twins.
That. I knew that and I forgot it.
You know what? It's all good because he's on vacation.
I'm going to call him today.
Okay.
What's one thing I love about Tyler?
Yes, one thing you love about Tyler.
He's one of the easiest people in the world to hang out with.
Yes.
He just, like, there can be people in your life who you're like, oof, I got to get ready for this. Never with Tyler. I never have to think twice.
Let me give you a thing I love about Tyler. Tyler Roberts loves dad jokes.
Yeah.
He loves hearing a dad joke, and he has one of those laughs that's like, ha!
Yeah.
It's just one.
It's really it's clear one how burst. He feels about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, when I get so excited when I get to hang out with Tyler because I just feel safe.
Yeah.
And I don't have to get ready for
it. He also can grow a great beard. That guy.
Yeah. Some of us have beard envy. I'm Thomas.
I'm Lee. This has been Ancient and Beard.
To Canaan's land, I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, and the soul of man never dies. To friends there'll be no sad farewells, there'll be no tear-dimmed eyes. For all is love and peace and joy, and the soul of man never dies. Across the foam where the soul of man never dies. It shines and lights the way to home where the soul of man never dies. Dear friends, there'll be no sad farewells, there'll be no tear-dimmed eyes. For all is love and peace and joy, and the soul of man never dies. The rose is blue there for me, and the soul of man never dies, and I shall spend eternity.